Well, bless God, it's good to see you tonight. Man, there's an expectancy in the room. There is just, we're on the edge of our, it's like, you know, watching the last show of Star Trek. I mean, you're just chomping at the bit. And it has been such a great couple days. Man, I've never felt healthier than I do right now. I don't know about you, but man, the healing power of Christ. Man took care of every, and I'm getting a little bit older, so I got some aches and pains. No, I don't, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I did, but I'm healed, in Jesus' name. I did, but I'm healed. And I'm so excited to have Tom Scarella with us, Scarella Ministries. And it has been a rich time. We've had our faith shook up. We've had our doctrine shook up. But it's been good, challenged. How many has been challenged by the messages? I mean, stuff we thought all along you've been saying because some Yahoo told you that years ago and you say, well, that's not the way it is. God's Word is so good. It sets us free. So Pastor Tom, come, please. God bless you.
Jesus. I just want to say publicly, we want to publicly thank your pastors, Pastors Rick and Terry. Come on, give them both a great big hand. Come on, give them a, show them you love them though. Come on, right? And we just love and appreciate them as friends. I told them though, I said, well, you know, I preached at both churches. I preached at his Philadelphia church. I preached at this one. I said, I like this one a lot better. You Indiana people, you're like my people, man. I'm telling you what. I'll tell you what. I love Midwest people, right? Come on, right? I tell you what, that's the one thing I miss about living, you know, in Florida is normal people. We don't have many of those down there, you know? So and whatever the Northeast Coast kicked out, that's what we get in Florida, you know? And so kicked out or retired, you know. You know, Seinfeld says, what's his name? Jerry Seinfeld says, you know, when you get to a certain age, you have to move to Florida if you live in the Northeast. You don't have any choice. It's just somewhere an unwritten law, you know. And so, but I want to do this. If I just get a couple guys, maybe a couple guys on this side, would you help me? Just hand those out and somebody else on this side. If I run out, I have more on my book table. Just give one per couple if you could. Otherwise, I won't have enough. And you can have that. And just if you can, just take one per couple. What it is we have a what we call what we do in missions, really. And I'm going to show you a quick video clip here in a second. But what we do in missions is we do several different things. Number one, we do international crusades and where we go into the foreign field. Mostly in East Africa is where we do it. And we mostly do it in Uganda, Tanzania, Kenya, in that area. But we've also done it in other nations such as Puerto Rico, and we've also done it in places like Jamaica, where we'll do mass crusades in a very poor part of the area or the country, and then we'll start churches out of that, number one. Number two is we establish orphanages. And so the orphanages that we start in these various different countries, the orphanages that we start, we do out of these crusades. Just in Uganda alone, where we go in Uganda, is over 3.5 million orphans just in Uganda. 3.5 million orphans, that's all under the age of 15. And many of them are street kids, right? And they just live in the streets and they eat out of the sewers and it's just terrible and the junk and stuff like that. And so, we're in the process right now of building our own orphanage in right outside of the Kampala area. And I've got 51 kids that are street kids that are waiting for a place to live. And so, forgive me if I get emotional about it, but it's going to cost me about beginning to end about $100,000 to build the whole thing beginning to end. But I'm going to do it in stages, so it's going to be 25,000, 25,000, 25,000, and then stage four will be 25. But what we're going to do is this, is we're going to feed them, educate them, clothe them, and we're going to give them a spirit-filled church, and they've never seen a family unit. because their parents are all dead. So we're going to put families that live there so they could see what a family unit looks like with a mother and a father and a family. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. So the way we do that is anyone who feels led and they partner with us, some do like $20 a month, some do much more. We have some partners who do much more. And what that money goes to is not that I can have a jet. And there's nothing wrong with having a jet, but that's not what the purpose of it is. The purpose of it is for what we're doing in missions. And so that's what we do with the missions is we're ministering to these kids. And so I'm just trying to raise enough money of this first $25,000 to get something together where they have shelter, because these kids live in very, very awful conditions. And then number three, what we also do in our missions is we also rescue young girls from human trafficking. How many of you know that that's a wicked thing in the world right now? Come on, somebody, right? And so the way we do that is by people who partner with us. The money gets split up into those things, and it helps us to impact the nations. We do it internationally, but I don't know if you realize this or not, but Indiana is one of the worst states in America for human trafficking. They get many of the young girls from here. They're looking for blonde young girls under the age of 16. And they get them hooked on drugs, and they smuggle them out of the country, and they try to get them overseas, especially into Asia, and then they're stuck. And so we work with a mission, and we rescue these young girls both in the U.S. and internationally. I'll just tell you, in the U.S. during the Super Bowl in February, the NFL kept it on the down low, but they found over 1,000 girls under the age of 16 being prostituted by Johns, or whatever they call those guys, pimps, there at the Super Bowl. Over 1,000. And NASCAR at the Daytona 500, they got almost 400 girls. Hello? Now, I'm not talking about in New Guinea. I'm not talking about in mainland China. I'm talking about here in the good old U.S. of A. While we're watching television and watching an event, you may be watching NASCAR, you don't realize it, that all around the event, this stuff is going on. And we have to do something to help these people. Come on, somebody. Amen. So what we do is this, is we work with the ministry. I can't even tell you. It's absolutely top secret. And we work with this ministry, and we rescue these young girls, and we bring them to an undisclosed place in Florida. And for 3.5 months, we feed them, clothe them, educate them, and get them free counseling 2 times a day. Come on, somebody. Come on. Amen. So... and you can't do that on $2, you know what I mean? And so the way we do that is by people who partner with us. And so what we do for our partners is we do this, is every month we send them an email that has a full newsletter as well as a free downloadable message. Sometimes it's an audio, sometimes it's a video of myself or other ministers. We've had Rodney and all kinds of different people. So if you're interested in that, no pressure. But if you're interested in that, just fill that card out with your credit card details. It's just easier for you and easier for us. And then we'll put you on that missions outreach with us. Then monthly you'll just get a free newsletter and all of that. And so no pressure. But if you're interested, let us know. Can you play that video up there in Wednesday night folder? It's called Love to the Nations. And now you can just kind of see just kind of an encapsulation. This is just one little part of our ministry, is church ministry. And so I want you, whoops, if you can back that all the way to the beginning. Whoops, wrong one. There you go. Watch this. Be blessed. Kill the lights if you can.
Everything I could want, that I could need, if I could see you want me, could I believe? Perfectly, all I want and all I need I could just feel your touch, could I be free? Why do you shine so? Can a blind man see? Why do you call? Why do you beckon me? Can the deaf hear the voice of love? Would you have me come? Can the cripple run? Are you the one? So raise me up from this grave. Touch my tongue and then I sing. Heal my limbs and joyfully I'll run to you. Raise me up from this grave. Touch my tongue and then I'll sing. Heal my limbs and joyfully I'll run to you. Everything I could want and I could need, I can just feel your touch and I can't breathe. How you shine so blind can see, and how you call, how you beckon me. The deaf hear voice of love, you bid me come, and the cripple run. Oh, you're the
come on, give Jesus a big hand clap. Come on, somebody. God's good, isn't he? Anyone think God's good in the house? I want to do this very quickly. I want to just do a couple quick testimonies from the last few nights. And I'm going to let you do that. All you got to do is just hit the red button, all right? And we had several people that gave some great testimonies of healing. Where are you, Pastor? You went out to lunch with... There you are, Pastor Jim. Come on up. He already gave us a testimony today. Come on up. And come on, give Pastor a big hand, will you? All right. Let me see, who else from this week that you had a real dramatic healing? We had several people gave some great testimonies about it. Someone else, Pastor, who else that you and I were? Oh, yeah, come on up, brother. Come on up, all right? I didn't see you back there. Anyone else, very quickly? Some of the people I'm looking for aren't here tonight that were here last night and the night before. So I'm like, okay, where's that one? But I don't see them here. And anyone else here? Yeah, anyone else? You want to give a quick testimony, all right? We call it a two-minute testimony. Because otherwise Pentecostal people make it 102 minutes. So what happened?
I've had a bad sciatic nerve in my leg for years, really, matter of fact. And I came up and asked for prayer, and he asked me what the problem was. And I said, well, my sciatic nerve's the worst. And he laid hands on me and had me sit down in a chair, and my feet were extended, and I have no back pain whatsoever.
Come on. Woo! Come on. Is that awesome? Lord. Come on up, brother. What happened? All right.
Help me with your name.
Mick.
Mick, what happened?
In the 70s, two different incidents happened. I got in a car wreck, broke both my legs. Part of my cartilage and I think part of the bone was missing in my knees. My knees been hurting for years. And God healed that, and I'm pain-free. And then my eyes, a battery blew up, and acid hit my eyes. I had spots in my eyes, and those are gone. And I just want to thank the Lord. I am so grateful. Praise the Lord.
Isn't that great? Come on. So, and now with your eyes, no pain, no nothing?
No pain. And it seems like, and then some bone spurs are gone, and just my whole body feels better. Everything. I feel like I got a recharge, a rebuild, you know.
That's great, right, man. Bless you, brother. Come on. Come on. Give him a big hand, all right?
Come on up.
And with you, my friend, you came on Sunday with a cane?
Yeah, with the cane. I'm walking without the cane most of the time. It's still for stability once in a while. But the shoulder, I'm able to get clear up here now.
Whoa.
And I went to rehab this morning, and they were asking, have you been working? And I said, yeah, I've been working on it every day, but I've been praising the Lord every night and been at healing school and healing worship every night. And it makes a huge difference in the life. And
wow.
And so I testified to the rehab people there today.
That's
so
great. Come on. Isn't that great? Praise God. Yeah. Come on up. Come on up.
What's going on?
I was in a car accident when I was 15. I'm 46 almost now, but
you could have said 29.
But I broke my back, and my neck and back have been messed up ever since. Well, I've not been pain free in 30 years, and I am so almost there.
Like, like just barely anything at all.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Come on, come on. God's good. Bless you. Come on, Chris. I met Chris at the hotel where we're staying, and we just had a great opportunity. I met Chris. Everyone say hi, Chris. And I met Chris there, and I felt in my heart, I said, you know, I felt like she had something wrong with her. And so what happened?
I've had scoliosis since I was at least 13, maybe longer than that. And you live to learn with the everyday pain. Oh, you know, he come up to get a menu for Nubianos. So I told him I didn't have it, but I gave him the number.
Yeah.
He got pizza.
Yeah.
But he says, is there something wrong with your back? And I'm like, well, I've had scoliosis. Is it bothering you? Yeah, a little bit tonight. So he had me come over and sit in a lobby chair. And I knew my balance was a little off, you know, it's just from the curvature in the spine, but I never realized until he popped my feet up how much shorter one foot was than the other.
Yeah.
Well, it's half
like,
inch at
oh,
least.
Yeah, almost an inch, yeah.
And he started praying for me, and I could feel a tingling in my foot, and the bone started cracking in the bottom of my foot. I told you. I can feel the bones crackling.
Yeah.
So he gets his little pizza off and ordered and goes back to his room. And I went back up to front desk, and I started walking around a little bit. I'm like, why am I so clumsy? I was tripping. And I'm like, it finally dawned on me. I've been walking like that for so long. I had to get used to walking the right way.
Is that amazing? Come on.
That's great.
So I practiced walking around the hotel the rest of the night, and I'm like, where's he at? I've got to tell him about this.
That's so awesome. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Come on up. This is fun.
Yeah, when I was a little girl, about 2.5, 3.5 years old, I had polio. They called it infantile paralysis at the time. And the doctor told my mother that I'd never walk. And she was, of course, crying and everything. And I says, no, it's all right, Mommy. I'm going to walk. I'm going to just keep walking and walking. And, you know, like I could walk all around the world or something. But at any rate, I was never. They said I'd be a cripple in a wheelchair and the whole nine yards. Never. Never. And here I am, 80-some years old, and I can walk on my own. I can do everything on my own.
No pain, no problem.
No pain at all.
Yeah, that's great.
Because if God is for you, who can be against you?
That's right. Come on. That's good. Bless you, sweetie. Come on up. What's going on?
I was here Sunday night, and to begin with, we were sitting in the back, and the Holy Spirit was just ministering to me. And we had had Pastor Rick come over last week because of difficulty in our home. And, boy, the Lord told me after Pastor Rick left that this is the beginning of a breakthrough. Wow. And Sunday night, I was sitting back there, and the Lord was just, I literally felt like he was lifting my head.
Wow.
And he said, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And he said, no more looking down, no more depression,
wow,
no more discouragement, no more sorrow. Well, the Holy Spirit was all over me, and my husband and I came up. Man, my legs are all over the place tonight. And so I was trying to stand up there, trying to stand now. And you had asked me why I had a brace in my hand.
Oh, that's
and
right.
It was a year at least ago, if not two, that the doctor said that it was the beginning of osteoarthritis in my thumb and my fingers. So I was wearing a brace because it hurt to move it. I couldn't grasp anything. I couldn't carry things. And I wore a brace to bed. I wore it to drive, and I wrapped it at night with pain pills. And we drove to Indian back yesterday without a brace. I mean, I can move this thing where I couldn't move it before. I can grasp things.
Hey!
And God did it.
Wow.
I mean, he did it. And
that's
I know
so cool.
That he can do, whoo. All.
We're getting drunk up here. I'm sorry.
Well, he can do anything.
Amen.
I mean, anything.
Amen.
So I'm giving him all the glory. If I can just stand up and go.
Amen. Oh, that's great. Praise God. Thank you.
Go for it.
First Timothy 5. I asked Tom if I could take the offering tonight. That's not usually the way he operates, but I asked permission to do that because I wanted to just share with you how very, very blessed we are to have this guy amongst us. And I don't say that to pump him up because he has just been so accurate and so right on. How many believe that he's been accurate and right on? I mean, he just has been a blessing. And it was last spring that I first spoke to Tom about coming. And I had prayed a long time before I'd ask him because the last time I saw him was in Philly. We had a great time, but it was Philadelphia. How many know it was Philadelphia?
Yeah.
So I want to forget a lot about... No, I'm just kidding. But So we talked and we prayed, and I called him and I said, I'd like for you to come out, and so we'll get you tickets. He said, you don't worry about the tickets, don't worry about the rental car, don't worry about anything. I just come by faith. Whatever happens, happens. I just want to come. The Lord spoke to me. I'm going to come, and so let's set some dates. And we did that. And so he's not asked me to get up here and say anything, but I just wanted to say, here in 1 Timothy 5 says, let the elders, verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. How many have got word and doctrine this week? Yeah. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. And so I know this to be a man that gives, 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 gives. We just heard the orphanages. There's tons of other things that Tom and Susie just obey the Lord with. And I just want to bless him tonight. I want you to dig deep and bless this guy, because he's blessed already, but we want to make sure he's taken care of.
Amen.
Want to make sure he's taken care of. He's worthy of double honor. And we're going to have it back. We're already talking about next year already. Yeah. 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 And it's such a blessing to have somebody quality. You don't know. I mean, I'm on this side of things. I've asked people to come in. So many times people have all these list of things. They got to have so much money. They got to have so many people. And they got to have... And it just really is. It would make your hair stand on end. It's so refreshing to have somebody that actually does what he says. He lives by faith. And we just want to bless him tonight. So I'm asking you to dig deep. I'm digging deep. I want to bless this brother. And ushers, get ready. If you need an offering envelope, raise your hand. You need an offering envelope. You can make checks payable to New Life. Every penny goes to Scarella Ministries, so don't worry about that. Anybody need an offering envelope tonight? Our brother's going to bless us with the sacks. And I want to publicly say that I am so blessed by this brother's ministry. And I am excited about the healings. I'm going to remind you guys Sunday morning about the healings you got now.
Yeah.
Amen. We want to sustain and retain them. And now we want to go and pray, as we've been told by the man of God, go pray for those who need healing. Look what happened over at the hotel. We were at lunch today. And sitting there having lunch, Pastor Jim, myself, and Tom were sitting there, and got finished with lunch, and the waitress comes over, and Tom just says, "Hey, how are you feeling? I mean, I'm a man of God. I pray for people. And how are you feeling?" She says, "Well, I think she had an accident when she was a child. Her leg was hurting, and she said, it hurts me all the time. If I'm on it, it hurts me." And he said, "Well, you know, you're standing a little bit off." And so she sits down in a chair, and her face, you could just see her face go, "This is lunch. I'm serving pizza and I'm getting healed."
Yeah.
And she got healed on the spot. She just stood up. She was fighting back tears.
Yeah, that's right.
And God just blessed her. She said she'd be here tonight. I don't know. Are you here? She's not here tonight, but I look forward to come by and visit. Carolyn.
Yeah,
her name was Carolyn, yeah. So, wonderful stuff. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're about to do tonight, God. Thank you for using and strengthening and pouring into and anointing this man of God amongst us, Father. Bless him and Susie. Bless Carella Ministries. God, we believe with him. Stand with him for these orphanages and his sex trafficking. God, we believe, Father, that you're going to continue to use him in a powerful way, Lord, as he goes to Richmond and other places. And eventually next week he'll be in Africa, Father. We just pray blessing upon him. Bless this offering to our dear brother. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dan Spohr is going to play for us. God bless you.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, if you got your Bibles here tonight, can I bug you guys again? Can you bring me up that stand? Is that all right? Tonight, if you got your Bibles, go over to the book of Ephesians. Lord, I'll be obedient. I was wrestling with what I felt like the Lord was sharing with me to share with you tonight. And Pastor Rick gave me a good confirmation. So, hallelujah. So go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to try to marry two things together. Let's see what God does. So, praise God. Ephesians 4 says this, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does he mean? That he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he may fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. Now let's just pause right there. I want you to see something here. I'm going to talk about a couple of different things here tonight. I'm going to kind of push you a little bit, all right? Let me see here. Lord, help me. I think I'm going to need 2, 3, 4. Okay. Here, God says, listen, I give apostles, prophets, evangelists, right? Pastors, teachers. All five, we call it fivefold ministry. And I give all five of these for the purpose of one thing or two things. Number one, for what? Number one is what? What does it say up there? Equipping, right? Of the saints. For, number two, the working of the ministry, right? And for the edifying. So here God says these three different things of the fivefold ministry. So the fivefold ministry is given not to do the stuff. So Pastor Rick back here, Pastor Jim, any other pastors we have tonight? I didn't even ask. Okay, so forgive me if I missed you. All right. I'm an evangelist. So our purpose, now we've had it screwed up in America. We've thought God gives us these gifts to do the work of the ministry. Come on. Is that what's been preached? Pastor, you go do it. That's why you're on staff. That's why you're the pastor. But your Bible says, no, our job is number one. Come on, help me. For the equipping of the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. What? We are coaches, so to speak, in a sense. In other words, to build the body up, to equip the body for what? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See? So there's something that happens is, now some great things happened in 1517. If you're not familiar with this, prior to 1517, way, way, way back, everybody was Catholic. Till about the year 350 is about when the Catholic Church started. All right. And then from about 350 AD all the way till 1517, everybody was Catholic. And then when Martin Luther came with the revelation of grace and faith. And when he did, he began to share some different things that really rocked the Christian world. And this is one of the things that he started to go in this direction. He got a little fearful. So that was in the 1500s, in the 1600s, in the 1700s. We also saw others. God would send prophets. God would send teachers. God would send pastors and apostles. And he would send them to train the body for the work of the ministry. And some of it wasn't received. So then it took the 1800s. People like Charles Finney, others that would come along that would try to train the body for the equipping of the ministry. 1900s, the same thing. And now here we are in the year 2000. And so we're 2000 years removed from the book of Acts. So here we are 2000 years later. And we have, what we have done is there's been a silent divorce in the church. There's a silent divorce between, number one, I'll just call it preachers, and the laity. Now, prior to, you have to understand, prior to the year 350 AD, there was no such thing as preachers and laity. It's quiet in here, but that's all right. Because when you read your Bible, the whole body, come on somebody, did the work of the ministry. The whole body did it. The whole body did the outreach. The whole body did the teaching. Everybody did this stuff. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you need to do this stuff. Everybody taught. Everybody healed. Everybody cast out devils. Everybody did all of these things. Come on. Everybody did. Not just the pastor, not just the evangelist, not just the apostle and the prophet. No, 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 no. The whole body. Everyone say the whole body. Okay, now I want you to keep going here because this is going to really freak you out when you see this verse. Okay, so he names the five-fold ministry. Then he says in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the body of Christ. Then he says this next word, verse 13. So look up behind me. And what is the very first word? Till. Till means that it is a timing word. Hello? It doesn't mean forever. The word till means what? Until. Right? So God says, I'm giving the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and then I'm going to write that word. So he goes and he says, until... Look at that. I can't even write here tonight. I'm still so drunk, all right? Drunk in the spirit, if you don't know what I'm saying, all right? So until God says, listen, I'm giving you all of these. Now, you got to get this or you're going to miss this, okay? Now, don't be offended with me, but just read the Bible like you never read it, okay? So he says, listen, God gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. What's that first word again? Until. So that's a timing word. Until... we all, who's we all? The body of Christ. Until the body becomes a mature person. Or another word is a perfect. Ah, come on. Everyone say perfect. Okay. Now, okay, let's keep going here. He says, till we all come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of Man, unto a, what's that word? Perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what is God speaking in the earth today? I'll tell you right now what God's speaking. This is the message he's speaking. I'm telling you, I just came from Norway. I was just in Denmark before that. I was just in Germany before that. I'm going in 7 days from right now. My feet will be on African soil. All right. So I'm telling you, this is what God is speaking worldwide. These verses right here. God says, listen, I've given the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for one purpose, so the body may grow up. Come on, somebody. So look at your neighbor and say, would you please grow up? Come on, tell two people. See if you can offend two people tonight. Come on, just tell two people. Would you please, please grow up? Now, I want you to see something here. Go over to your right. I'm going to give you several scriptures. Whew, time is flying, so we got to go fast. So go to a Hebrews chapter 5. You got to get this. Just stick with me, okay? So... Hebrews 5, I'm just going to go fast, so if you don't catch me, then you'll have to get the tape, all right? So Hebrews 5, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk, come on somebody, and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, man, I know whole churches that never leave milk. I know churches that won't even give you milk. They even water the milk down. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Right? But solid food becomes of those who are of full age. Okay, now I want you to see, I'm going to give you just a fast Bible lesson.
I should say Hebrew, Greek lesson. All right? There's four words. If you want to write these down. All right, write this word down. Paideon. Pais. Technon. If you don't know this, the New Testament is written in Greek. It's not written in English, okay? King James did not write it. That freaks some people out. Did you know the name James is not even in the Bible? King James added his name in the Bible so he could have his name in the Bible. Did you know that? Seriously, that's honest truth. Okay, huios. This is what these mean. Number one, it means baby, or it also means, it really means infant. This means child. So I'm going fast, all right? Technon, this means teenager. This means adult. Okay, this will all come together. Okay, so James, Hebrews says it like this: for the you need solid food, but you can't handle it. So he says, so I have to keep giving you milk. Solid food is of those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Everyone say perfection. Chapter 6. So I'm in chapter 6, verse 1, okay? Let us go on to perfection. See, people don't like that word. I don't like that word, perfection. Well, it's written in Greek. So when you translate it over, King James is 1600, what was it? What year was that? 1611? Yeah, 1611 was the translation to the King James, okay? So how many of you think English has changed a little bit in 400 years? I can say in 40 years it's changed, all right? So in 400 years it's changed. But the word perfect is actually the Hebrew word that means the word mature, or it means adult, okay? So he goes on to say, therefore, leaving the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity. Everyone say maturity. Not laying again, he says, the foundation of repentance from dead works. And he begins to go on and name some of these basic things. Now go to your left. Go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3. What is God speaking? What is God saying here right now in Rochester, Indiana? What is he saying? Well, as you're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, all of these words come from the Greek word son. 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 And son. But they're all different because they describe spiritual maturity. Hello. Right? Now, that's why the Bible talks about Jesus was born in Bethlehem in a manger. So when it describes him as a child, it says the Greek word paideion. He was an infant. That means he was just born and placed in a manger. Now I'm going to ruin your Christmas song, so get ready, okay? But then it says, and the wise men came and they brought the child a gift. And the Bible says the child was in the house. You look at it, Matthew chapter 2. I know it ruins the whole Christmas song, we three kings of Orient are. And in fact, the Bible doesn't even say there were three kings. It just says there were kings that brought three gifts. So there could have been two kings, there could have been 100 kings. We don't know how many kings there were. So how about that for ruining your Christmas song, huh? But okay, so Jesus was not in the manger when the wise men came. He was considered a child. You look at it, Matthew chapter 2, okay? So this is where the word right there, Matthew 2, it talks about him as a young child. He was in the house. You look it up, the child was in the house, okay? Then it goes on, and another word for son is the Greek word technon, which means a teenager or an adolescent.
means growing, but not mature. Hello? How many of you know teenagers, they think they're going on 29, but they're actually 14? Right? So, it doesn't mean they're mature, but in their mind they think they are, right? Okay. Then, there's a full-grown son, which is an adult, which is also the word perfect, mature, or another word is full age. Come on, right? Or adult. Same thing. So there are several things that God is speaking to the church. And one of the things that God is speaking to the church, this is what the Lord began to speak to me about, was he called it my three sons. Now, those of you who are my age or older, how many of you remember that stupid show? Wasn't that a fun show, though? Those of you who don't, I'm sorry. You have to YouTube it. My three sons, all right? So can't help you there. But we see that God, and I actually could say my four sons, but we'll just say my three sons. So we're going to talk about child, adolescent, and adult. In other words, spiritual maturity. This is what God's speaking. So look, in 1 Corinthians. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians, if you don't know this, there was actually four letters written to the Corinthian church. There's what's called the previous letter, then 1 Corinthians, then the severe letter, then what's called 2 Corinthians. If you don't know that, I'm just kind of telling you that, all right? So in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us what these people are like. Actually, go to the end of chapter 2 very, very quickly, all right? End of chapter 2, he says in verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. And he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people. Come on. But as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. So what were the Corinthians? They were what? They were babes. They were actually, it's this word right here, pais. That's the same word. He said, I have to speak to you like a child. You're a spiritual children. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For even until now, you're not able to receive it. Even now, you're still not able. For you're still carnal, where there's among you envy and strife and divisions, and you behave like mere men. Come on, somebody. And so children have certain characteristics. Now, if you want to write these down, you can. Here's the characteristics of a spiritual child. See, some people say, we're all children of God. No, we're not all children of God. We may all were children of God, but now we're growing up. I'm 49 years old. I may be my dad's son, but I'm not his child. I don't crawl on my 69-year-old father's lap and call him daddy and run my fingers through his hair. If I did, he would probably slap me and say something's mentally wrong with me. Come on, right? Because I'm matured. I'm a 49-year-old man. I'm a grown adult. Come on, somebody. Right? So there comes a point where we mature physically. So guess what? We also mature spiritually. So we're supposed to. But it's different in the spirit than it is in the natural. Because in the spirit, just because you've been saved a while doesn't mean necessarily you're mature. You could be saved for 50 years and still be a spiritual brat. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about you right now. I'm just teasing you. I'm just teasing. I'm just playing, all right? So what is a spiritual child, what do they look like? Well, the number one sign of a spiritual child is they're ignorant. If you want to write that down, a spiritual child is ignorant. I just don't have time to write it all down. So number one, a spiritual child is ignorant. They don't know what's good. They don't know what's food or a spider. They just put everything in their mouth. Come on, right? Everything goes down. They don't know if Drano's good to drink. They don't know if antifreeze is okay to drink. They don't know what's the difference between that and Kool-Aid. Come on, right? So that's a spiritual child. So it can be good, but it can also be bad. That's why Pastor says one of the most dangerous places for a believer to go is the Christian bookstore. Because you could be drinking strychnine and you don't even know it and you think it's Kool-Aid, all right? So number one is ignorance. Number two, What is a sign of a spiritual baby, a spiritual child? A number one sign, a number two sign of a spiritual child is they're always irritable. A spiritual child is somebody who always is irritated. They're irritated. You don't sing my favorite song anymore. We don't sing out of the hymnals anymore. We don't have even, you know, pews in here anymore. How could this be God? We're in a converted gymnasium. I mean, there's even a basketball hoop up. It may be Indiana, but get the basketball hoop down. God can't be in here with a basketball hoop up. All right. Come on, somebody. But that's a spiritual baby. That's a spiritual child. Come on, somebody. And they get angry. They're irritable all the time. They're irritable with you. They're irritable with this one. They're irritable with their boss. They're irritable with their neighbors. Woo, man, I'm preaching good tonight. Hallelujah. I'm just going to pause and say, la, just let that sit there. All right. So spiritually irritable. They call it spiritual, but it's not spiritual. They say, well, I had one lady come to me and she said, well, I have the gift of discernment. I said, no, you don't. You have the gift of suspicion. She was shocked that I said that. I said, no, you don't have the gift of discernment. I said, first off, show me where the gift of discernment is in the Bible. There's no such thing. It's the Bible calls it discerning of spirits, not the gift of discernment. Come on, right? So I said, you don't have the gift of discernment because there is no such thing. You're just suspicious of everybody except for yourself. She never came back to the meetings after that, but all right. So number two is they're very irritable. Look at your neighbor. Ask them, are you irritable? Number three sign of a spiritual baby. Or a spiritual son, this could actually be a child or a baby, is they are easily offended. I'm offended because Pastor Terry didn't wave at me at Walmart. Well, you spiritual thing, you. Come on, somebody. Right? People that are easily offended, that is a true sign of spiritual immaturity. Easily offended people, they get offended constantly. Whatever you say, you have to pre-qualify everything. How many of you know people like that? Come on. How many of you know church people like that? Come on, raise your hand. Be honest. All right. You know people like that. You know what? They're spiritual babies. Just nobody has told them that yet. So if you act like that today, I'm here to tell you, you're a spiritual baby. Come on. We call these revival services. Revival means change. Come on. Amen. I mean, if I've got something in me, I say, Lord, tell me, you know, easily offended all the time. Offended. They're offended at this. The preacher gets up and preaches something. You were preaching that about me. I didn't even know you had that. How in the world am I thinking about you? Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, sometimes people get so easily offended over everything. Everything offends them. You know, you're driving down the highway and you're thinking about something and you don't wave at them and now they won't come to church. I won't go to that church anymore. He's a leader at the church down the street down there, that New Life Church. I'll not go back there again. Well, you spiritual giant. You showed him, didn't you? You showed him the love of Jesus, I'll tell you. A spiritual child. Ooh, man, Jesus, help me. Do I even say this one? A spiritual child is a very talkative person about their favorite subject. The great Trinity. Me, myself, and I. They walk up to you. Me, myself, I. Me, my kids. Me, my, this, my corns and my toes and my head and my family and my job. And then you go to tell something. Oh, I got to go now. And they go to the next person to talk about their favorite subject. They're talkative, but only about themselves. Come on. Amen. That's a spiritual child. A spiritual child is one that just needs to grow out of that stage and begin to start to mature and grow out of that talkativeness about themselves. Come on, amen. Did we already take the offering tonight? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. I'm totally playing, honestly. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Just one verse. I want you to see this. Natural. First Corinthians 14, verse 20, one verse says, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." Come on, right? See, everyone just quotes that one verse of Jesus where I want to be like a child. I want to be like a child. But that's not the whole counsel of God. That's just one verse. He's talking about in the way, just like here, Paul is talking about your character. He's saying, listen, in understanding, be mature. But he's saying this, however, in anger, be like babies. Be like children. Children are not easily offended. Come on. I said children are not easily offended. Come on, right? So we can't be easily offended. Some people get all offended. You know, someone wants to give, you know, I've been in some places where this one wants to come up and give testimony and they get so mad and because I didn't call them up for testimony, and they get up and they storm out and they slam the door behind them and wave that special finger at me. And then all of a sudden, you know, wow, I saw your spirituality. All right. Come on, somebody. But see, it's just a matter of spiritual immaturity. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say one more time. Say, will you please grow up? All right, I already said, so a spiritual child is one that is selfish, but so is a spiritual adolescent. You know what else a spiritual adolescent is? Now we've moved from child to adolescent. A spiritual adolescent is one that needs constant entertainment. They always got to be entertained all the time. I mean, they come to church, somebody sing to me, I don't want to do anything, I don't want to stand, I don't want to clap, I don't want to raise my hand, I don't want to do nothing. You do it. The evangelist comes, no, you do it. I'm not doing it. Come on, somebody. Why? Because their whole life, they've been spiritually immature. And they constantly need to be entertained. That's why some churches know that. So they've learned that we've got a church in Florida. Nobody in Indiana would be this stupid. But in Florida, we've got a church in Tampa, Florida that advertises church in 22 minutes guaranteed. That's what it's, and guaranteed is in the biggest letters. Church in 22 minutes guaranteed. Do you hear about that church? Yeah. 22 minutes. I mean, seriously. I mean, wow. That's like going through a car wash or something. My gosh. I mean, wow. I think I've been through car washes that were longer than that, you know. But see, you know what it caters to? It caters to those who are spiritual babies. I mean, we've got one in our city. The second largest church, excuse me, not the second largest church, one of the top 10 largest churches in America is in my city. And this church is 20,000 members. 20,000. They rent Dolphin Stadium on Easter Sunday with over 20 some thousand people gathered there. And, but whenever we evangelize in our city, we win people to Jesus. We get done winning them to Christ. And so I ask, hey, where do you guys go to church? Oh, we go to this church. And they name that church. I'm like, makes sense. Come on, somebody, right? Why? Because these churches realize that if they want, you know, they want nickels and noses, then go ahead and just have a baby service. Come on. Now, probably nobody in Indiana would do that, but... Hello? But that's a spiritual teenager, you know? And so what else is a spiritual teenager? They're unsteady all the time. Unsteady about themselves. They're unsteady about their identity. So that's what I want to just talk about for a couple more minutes here, is your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ. That's what they're trying to find out. A spiritual teenager is one that's trying to find their identity. So as they're trying to find their natural identity, they're trying to find out who I am, what I want to be, where I want to go, who I want to marry, what kind of work do I want to do. What are they doing? They're trying to find their natural identity. Same thing is true in the spirit. Those people that stay in this level, they never really find out who they are in Christ. They never walk in the new man. They're always walking in the old man. Come on, somebody. And they're living in the old man with the old thoughts and the old habits. And come on. Amen. Some of them just have lived a whole life of being a Debbie Downer. Negative, negative, negative. How many of you have ever been around someone like that? You ever been around some? I mean, it's just like, you remember Snoopy? Remember the cartoon Snoopy? Remember Pigpen? Wherever he went, it was a Pigpen going with him. You remember that? That's like a negative person. You ever been around someone like that? You say, man, that's a beautiful day out. Yeah, but it's probably going to rain. Somebody else says, man, you know, wasn't it awesome what God did in those meetings? Yeah, but there were still other people that didn't get healed. Yeah. What, all those that got up and gave testimony that were healed? Come on, somebody. Amen. And they think they're being spiritual by being negative. I'm still probably just talking Florida, probably not Indiana people would ever do this, but what it is it's an identity problem, and their identity problem is what locks them in. And now listen, if you don't know your identity, you will never walk in your inheritance. My grandparents died here not too long ago. And when they died, my parents had to go to the reading of the will. And they had to get out their identity to prove who they are before they could ever get an inheritance. Come on, somebody. You have to know who you are in Christ before you ever walk in an inheritance. You never walk in your inheritance while you still struggle with who you are in Christ. That was a good spot to say amen. Amen. So this is what God's doing. God is drilling this into the church, saying, come on, church, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. And this is what Paul was struggling with. Paul was struggling with this with these Corinthians. And not to be controversial on the last night, but, you know, I'll just say it. Who does Paul talk to about the gifts of the Spirit? What church does he talk to? Were they spiritual adults or were they spiritual children? At Christmas time, who plays with gifts? Quiet in the Presbyterian church. So I bless thee in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Always wanted to do that. So you say, wait a second, I thought gifts were for spiritually adult. No, Jesus never walked in the gifts. Jesus walked in the seven spirits of God. Jesus walked in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11 doesn't say he'll walk in a word of knowledge. It says he'll have the spirit of knowledge. He walked in fullness. The first I started off with was in Ephesians chapter 4. It says that we may arise to the fullness. Come on, help me. Of the measure of the stature of Christ. Jesus didn't walk in a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. He walked in Isaiah 11 that says he'll have the spirit of knowledge. He didn't walk in working of miracles or gifts of healings. He walked in the spirit of power, the Bible says. You look at it. Does that mean that we don't go for the gifts? No, we go for the gifts. I love the gifts. I go for the gifts. We had gifts tonight. Twice we had gifts of the Spirit already. Are they not important? Yes. Most churches in Rochester don't even have the gifts. Come on, somebody. So we have to start at the gifts. We have to start at the gifts and we grow into God's fullness. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. So we start here. So we have to. That's why we don't mock or poo-poo or put down the gifts. You got to go for the gifts, because 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, desire or follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Come on. Look at your neighbor. Say, desire spiritual gifts. So if you never desire, if you say, wow, I've never desired spiritual gifts. Well, that's why, because you don't have them in your life. You don't have them because you haven't desired them. As soon as you say, God, I want to give a prophetic word, God stirs that gift up inside you. As soon as you say, God, I want to be used in the words of knowledge or words of wisdom or discerning of spirits or whatever it might be, special faith, then it stirs that gift up. And you grow from there and you move into God's fullness. Come on. Is that okay? Is that all right? Amen. So that's why if you read the book of Corinthians, for years, this used to freak me out. This used to really bug me. Because many of our evangelical friends would say, I don't want the gifts at all. I just want the fruit. Besides, doesn't 1 Corinthians 13 say, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'll become as a sounding brass? Yeah, because listen, love is a sign and a symbol of maturity. You keep on going here. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have faith that I could remove mountains, have not love, I have nothing. Though I bestow my, things on the poor and love suffers long and stuff. It's not talking about natural love. It's not talking about a man loves a woman or a woman loves a man. It's talking about supernatural love. Hello. I know we do it at weddings, but that's not even what it's talking about. Then you keep on going. It says this, verse 8, love never fails. Whether there's prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there's tongues, they'll cease. Whether there's knowledge, it'll vanish away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Watch this. But when that which is, say that word out loud, please. When that which is perfect is come, come on, somebody help me. Same word, mature. It's huios. When that which is huios is come, come on somebody, that which is in part will be done away. So God says, listen, when you walk in love, you start to walk in your identity in Christ. The more you walk in love, the gifts grow, grow, grow. Pretty soon, you've even outgrown the gifts and you're walking in the fullness of Christ. Come on somebody. Come on. You won't need a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge because now you're functioning in the full spirit of knowledge. Now, people can say a lot of negative things of William Branham, but I'll tell you what, that guy functioned in the full spirit of knowledge and wisdom. He didn't flow in the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. He was functioning in the full spirit of the thing. Come on, somebody. I mean, you hear some of the testimonies about how he would be fly fishing right here in Indiana. You'd be fly fishing, and these Jehovah's Witnesses came up to him, and he just began to read their mail as they were trying to witness to him. He just began to say, well, let me just tell you about your life. This is the sin you're in right now. You're sleeping with that woman, and you've been stealing from your company for years, and nobody knows it. They both fell on their faces. He said, I just kept fishing. Let them get with God. That's their thing. Okay. Last couple things I want to say is this. So God wants us to step over into that thing. And one last scripture I want to give you here is this. Is that there's something about that we begin to function in a realm of what God calls believing. Come on. Amen? So go over to Matthew chapter 9. And then we're going to close. Is this okay? I hope I didn't stir something up here. I can't shut down. I don't normally like to do this on the last service. Did I, Pastor? I hope I didn't. Okay, good stuff. Okay. So Matthew 9, verse 27. And Jesus departed. Because you may say to yourself, yeah, but I just came tonight to get my sore foot healed. I got corns on my toes. You know, my wife's got a bump on her head. You know, whatever. I don't know what you got going on, you know. My husband's a pain in the neck. Well, we can't fix that. I mean, we can do a lot here tonight, but I don't know if we can fix him as a pain in the neck. But see, God is looking bigger than just you getting healed tonight. Come on, somebody. He doesn't just want to heal you and then let you go home and just live selfish. It's not about you getting healed and living selfish. He's healing you to mature you and grow you up as a full mature son. Come on, amen. You know, Jesus is coming back for a mature bride. No man wants to marry a 4-year-old child. Hello. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is looking for a mature bride. He's not looking for an immature baby. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right. So, but Matthew chapter 9 says, verse 27, last scriptures. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him and cried out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into the house, the blind men came to him and said, Jesus said to them, do you believe? Everyone say believe. He says, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes and he said, what? According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened and sternly warned them, see that no one knows it. Oh, yeah, sure, Jesus. Yeah, I've been blind my whole life. No problem. I'll keep it to myself. That'll be easily done. You know, I mean, come on, you know. But I want you to see this, that this word believe is a maturing word. The word believe, you know, in America, many people think that by being analytical, I've run out of room. They think that analytical, oh, man. Jesus, help me. There we go. Someone's like L. Someone's like Z. Someone's yelling out F. Okay. All right. Analytical, whatever it is. Shubaduba. All right. So analytical. Or this word, believe. Now, many people, they think that spirituality is by them being analytical. Well, I have to be cautious, brother. You have to have wisdom. Which, I don't know where they get that scripture. Because Jesus says this. He does, I'll tell you what Jesus does not say. Jesus does not say, blessed are those who are analytical and have to run it through their brain, for they'll be the most blessed. Jesus says, no. Jesus says, blessed are they who have not seen and yet, for they're blessed. So who's the blessed ones according to Jesus Christ? The one that just believes. Not the one who has to analyze. Not the one who has to say, let me think about it. I'll have to get back. I need a couple of confirmation. Could you imagine, you know, here's Peter and John and these guys, and they're working with Zebedee, their father, and Jesus walks by. He's just walking. And he says, hey, come follow me. If they were in the 21st century, the Christians, they would have said, I need two more confirmations. At least. Right? And they would have missed apostlehood. But they were so quick to believe. Jesus looked for 12 men that were quick to believe. If you want to grow spiritually, the way you grow spiritually, well, there's several things you can do. Okay. If you want to write these down, you can. How do you grow spiritually? So how do you move along this line? Okay, I'm coming back to believe, so just put it on pause. How do you grow spiritually? Here's how you grow spiritually. Number one is by putting God's word first. Putting God's word first. Not on a shelf, but in your hands. It's as you think on the word, you read the word, you speak the word constantly. That it's in your hand every single day. That's how you spiritually grow. What if I told you that you'll get physically strong by not eating for the next 45 days, physical food? You'd say, oh, I'll be weak. Well, guess what? Your spiritual food is God's word. Come on. So some people go for months and months without ever reading God's word for themselves. Come on. Amen. So, okay. So number one is God's word. Everyone say God's word. Number two, the second way you grow is by prayer. It's by prayer. It's as you begin to, every day, you begin to pray. You begin to seek God every single day. Even if it's 10 minutes, that's cool. It's something. God would rather have you do 10 minutes a day than 2 hours a month. Come on. Amen. Because he's looking for fellowship. He's looking for a friend. He's looking for a son, a daughter, right? Okay. So that's number two is prayer. Number three is, and this is not a popular one, but it's by outreach. It's by you going out and ministering and blessing somebody else, praying for somebody else. That's how you grow. You want to know what milk is and what the meat is? Milk is when somebody else chews it up and gives it to you. That's milk. So when Pastor Rick comes up on Sunday, and as he comes up here, he's meditated on it, he's prayed on it, and he's chewed it all up, and like a baby bird, he gives it to you. I don't mean that bad way. It's a good thing, right? But that's the milk of the word. So how do you get the meat of the word? Listen, The meat of the word is when you do the word that was spoken. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. He didn't say the meat is to hear the will of my Father. He said, no, the meat, my meat, is to do it. Come on, somebody. Amen. So it's one thing that I come in this building and I say, I believe in healing. And it's another thing when I go to the pizza joint or to the Quality Inn Hotel, wherever you are, Chris. There she is. And I say, I believe in this. Come on, somebody. Now it became meat when I gave it to Chris on Monday or whatever day it was. It was meat to me. She thought she got blessed. I got more blessed going back to my room. Come on. Amen. Why? Because I was obedient. And that's how you spiritually grow. Number four, the fourth way that you do is by believing. Is by radically believing God enough to begin to apply the word in your life. It's just complete and total belief. I've had people come to me and say, well, I want to bring somebody. Do you think they'll be healed? I said, no. I don't think. I'm not a thinker. The Bible says the Pharisees reasoned in their minds. I told one lady, she said that to me. I said, I'm no Pharisee. I said, Pharisees are thinkers. I'm not a thinker. I'm a believer. This is a Pharisee. A Pharisee is this one here. That's the Pharisee. The one that's the believer is the one that's blessed. Come on. How many of you are believers? Raise your hand. Anyone are believers? Okay. Well, now you just begin to function in that. You begin to walk in that and you begin to say, Lord, I believe. I believe it. And I'm going to begin to expect it. If you don't heal anyone tonight, you're going to heal me. Come on, somebody. God moves in that. Listen, God moves in that. I mean, I'll just tell you flat out. When Pastor Jim and Pastor Rick and I were at lunch today and I was talking to that lady, I was stepping out. I said to her at first, I said, do you have any problems with this or that? No. I said, okay. So I'm swinging. At least I'm swinging. Some people never swing. Come on. At least I'm swinging at something. And then I went boom and I said to her, I said, listen, it looks like something's wrong with your back. Your shoulders are off and stuff. And she said, oh yeah, I never thought of that. And then I started to pray for her here. So what was I doing? I was stepping out. Just like I told you about the lady that I was in the park and I stretched my hand and I was believing God. Just the Lord just challenged me. He said, Tom, just do something that's so out of your skin. Come on, think of Elijah. What does Elijah do? Elijah goes and says to the prophets of Baal, go ahead, call on your gods. They called and called. And he says, well, maybe he's away on vacation. That's what he said. Maybe he's on vacation. Go ahead and cut yourself with stones. I bet he was a funny guy, that guy. He goes, go ahead and cut yourselves a little harder, he says. Go ahead, keep cutting yourselves, you know. And nothing happened. And then the Bible says that Elijah says, go ahead and pour water on the offering. Make it hard for God. Then it says, he says, go get more buckets and barrels and pour it on the offering. Pour it. And the Bible says that it went and it even filled up all the way around. In other words, make it so difficult that only God himself can come through. Come on, somebody. Reckless faith. Everyone say reckless faith. I'm telling you what, that's what God wants you to walk in. He wants you to walk in 2015 in reckless faith. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I'll tell you what, that's where God begins to meet you. So I never even told Pastor Rick this, but first time I started as a traveling minister was, and I came out, went out east, I should say, was in 1996. If I remember right, 1996, I went pretty close to where you grew up in a city called York, Pennsylvania. So I went to York. It's a church called York Christian Fellowship. And I preached a radical message on power evangelism. That was what it was called, power evangelism. And the associate pastor there was a guy that's now he's become pretty well known. Nobody knew him at the time. And Pastor Dan. And man, his name just left me like a bird, his last name. But so this guy, Pastor Dan, he went and here he was and I started talking about reckless faith and I started talking about do something that absolutely puts you out of your skin that makes you uncomfortable. I said to the people, you're trying to make yourself comfortable instead of make yourself uncomfortable. And you don't grow where you're comfortable. Come on, somebody. You know, if you go to the gym, you ever see people do this when they lift weights? And not one bead of sweat. Nothing. They do it about 400 times. They could have a cappuccino at the same time. I want to just tell them, you may as well go take a nap, brother, because nothing's happening. Because let me tell you something. Muscles only grow to the greatest resistance. And that's what I told that church. And I told that church. And Pastor Dan was there. And I began to tell the people, I dare you to go out and pray for somebody to get healed. I just began to dare the people. 1996, summer of 1996. And he went out that summer and he met a young guy that was a drug dealer and a drug addict and he was a wreck. Some of you have heard of this guy. His name is Todd White. You know who Todd White is? The guy with the long dreads? He's the guy who got saved because of that message. Come on, somebody. Amen. So why am I telling you? Because who knows? There may be somebody right now in Rochester is the next Billy Graham. Everyone's waiting for Billy Graham to die. He's not waiting to, you know, just to get out of here and the whole world to honor him and stuff. Listen, it's time for the next Billy Graham to rise up. I mean, who knows? You may win them at the Pizza Hut. Maybe at the Circle K or whatever it is, the big R or whatever those things are. Come on, somebody. You may be the one that wins that one. Come on, somebody. You may pray for that one and they get delivered of cocaine or they get delivered of meth or whatever it is. And they were dealing meth like a banshee. And the next thing you know, they're just a wild evangelist and win millions to Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. What's stopping you? Nothing's stopping you. The only thing that's stopping you is what you believe. That's the only thing stopping you. Not just for your healing tonight. God's looking way beyond that. Moses wanted to get delivered. Deliver me, God. God's like, dude, I'm not even dealing with that. I'm thinking about you becoming a deliverer. Come on, somebody. So God's looking at you. He's saying, I'm not even thinking about just getting you healed. I want to raise you up as a healer to the nations. Come on, somebody. God wasn't looking, oh, Moses, oh, I can't wait to get you out of your little situation. God was looking way beyond Moses. He was looking at 3.5 million Jews. Come on, who knows how many people you're going to impact for Jesus? Come on, somebody. Who would have known 33 years ago, a guy who obeyed God in the middle of the winter in Fargo, North Dakota, and come and start a Bible study for teenagers in a town of 532 people? Who would have known 6 of us would be in full-time ministry? That I would preach in 33 countries in 48 states, and the other guy would be the youth pastor of Kenneth Hagin's church? Who knew that? He didn't know that. God was just saying, I want you to be obedient in the little thing. And I want you to step out of your fear. Come on, somebody. We have to be willing to step out of our fear. I'll just say this in closing. Will you quietly put that song on, Soak in the Presence? I'll just say this in closing. We were ministering in this church up north of here. And I began to tell the people, you've been listening to the voice of fear in your mind for decades, some of you. Decades. Not years. Not months, not days, decades. Fear says, what will people think? And I told the people, I said, most people don't think, so there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing going through here, man. I mean, nothing at all. It's just wide open space. Just nothing's, no one's thinking nothing. I grew up in the Midwest. Our number one thought, what will people think? It's a small town. What will people think? Most people don't think anyway. Come on, somebody. Amen. So I said to the people, I said, what if you just stepped out of your fears and you just started doing some radical stuff? We used to call outreach and evangelism. We used to call it bomb squad. And so I laid hands on a dozen people and all these single moms came down to the front. Man, it just makes me weep. These three women came down the front, single moms, all of them. all of them had just a slew of kids and divorce and all kinds of just really just a broken life. And I said to all of them, I said, man, I challenge you tonight to get, every time you hear the voice of fear, rebel against the spirit of fear. And the one girl, young woman, her name is Eileen. And she was the biggest introvert in that church. The pastor will tell you. If I put him on the phone right now, he'll tell you. She was the most introverted. He said, Tom, after that meeting, she said to her pastor, I rebel against fear all the time now, ever since Tom was here. She went, and they went on a church outing, and they all got in a big school bus. They had rented a school bus. And they came to a stoplight. And when they came to a stoplight, everybody's talking and excited about the conference they're going to. They came to this stoplight. And when they came to the stoplight, she jumped out of the bus and jumped into the car next to them. And this group of, you know, thugs that were there, and the music, I mean, it's going, and she won the whole car to Jesus during the red traffic light and jumped back into the bus just like it was nothing. The pastor said, what in the world was that? She said, I heard fear say don't do it. So I said, I'm doing it. He's like, wow. 2 months later, there was a gay parade in the city. And she said to her girlfriend, she said, listen, let's get babysitters and let's go bomb squad the gay parade. You know, God, I'm talking about, you know, minister to the people. I have to pre-qualify this, all right? So she said, I mean, this girl scares the pastor, I'll tell you what. She went and she got these three women. They all got their babysitters and they went and they went into the gay parade. They went to the number one, the starter float. You know, that starts off. All the transvestites were on this starter float. Big, big one. I mean, tractor trailer size, you know, huge. And all these, they can't wait. In 20 minutes, they're going to go and they're going to start. And she said, she just went right in the midst of them. She didn't ask permission, nothing. And she jumped right onto that float and she got the whole bunch of them all saved. And they were speaking in tongues within 20 minutes. Come on, somebody. Makeup running everywhere ruined the whole gay parade. They never protested nothing. She just said, we just want them to the Lord. And that was it. You know, that was how the... I shared the same thing in Bradenton, Florida. We're in Bradenton, Florida. Ministered to this church called... what's the name of that place? Christian Outreach or something like that. Oh, I remember that guy's name, Dan Moeller. That's his name, Pastor Dan. Jesus, thank you. So here we are in Bradenton. And I share this about rebelling against that spirit of fear. And just believe that God has anointed you, come on somebody, to deliver the captives. Come on, with confidence, tell your neighbor, say, God has anointed me. Come on, somebody. Tell everybody. Turn around, tell two people. Come on, right now. Go for it. Come on, be bold. God's anointed me already, all right? Come on. So this 19-year-old young lady and her two guy friends from the church, they're about 22, they went and every week they would go on out, what they call bomb squad, to go heal the sick and pray for people. And this is about in 2004 or 5, right in that time. And she saw a football game going on. I promise we're going to close. I'm going to pray for people. But she went and she said, there's a football game going on. It was homecoming. Okay. Now, football may be big in Indiana, but I'll tell you what, it's huge in Florida. There's no sport bigger in Florida than football. I mean, you go, it's like a professional event. There was 3,500 people there at a high school football game, 3,500. And so this girl went with these two guys. They parked the car. The guy said, okay, which way are you going to go? She said, I don't care where you guys go. I'm going right up into the press box. Come on, somebody. Rebel against fear and just believe God. Come on. The guy said, what? She said, yep, I'm going right up there. 19-year-old girl. And she went and she walked straight up to the top. And the two announcers were up there. It was halftime. And the one announcer said, "Whoa, little lady, you can't come up here." She said, "Listen," because I told the people, I said, "You're a minister in training. Come on, prophesy to your neighbor. Say, I'm a minister in training." So I said, "You just tell everyone I'm a minister in training." So that little girl went up there and this guy grabbed her arm and said, "Hey, you can't come up here." She goes, "Hey, I'm a minister in training." She pushed his hand away. She said, "Hey, I'm a minister in training." She says, "It's halftime. We need to pray for the troops in Iraq." It just popped in her head. In Afghanistan. And the guy said, "Oh, that's a great idea." He goes, "But I'm not going to pray." She goes, "Well, I'm a minister in training. I'll do it, I guess." Come on, somebody. No fear. She said, "My heart was going the whole time. I was rebelling against fear." And she said, and they said, "Okay, let us just introduce you." So they get the microphone. "Ladies and gentlemen, could I have all the men take off your hats, please? We have a minister in training here tonight." True story. "That wants to pray for the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. Please bow your heads." So she said, everybody that went with her there said, I mean, she just went a house of fire. "In the name of Jesus, I command the angels to protect these men." And they start praying and everyone's, "Amen. Yeah, yeah." Everyone's nodding their heads. And then she's at the end of it, she goes, "And if you're here tonight and you've never made a commitment to receive Jesus Christ, raise your hand all over this place right now." And 1,000 people raised their hands and received Christ. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She just believed. I said, she just believed. God's hand was upon her life. I'll tell you what. I'm tired of seeing the church apologize all the time. I said, I'm tired of seeing the church apologize all the time. We're afraid to be politically incorrect here and there. There is only one way to heaven. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm telling you, I have no fear to say it in front of everybody. Come on, somebody. Amen. And to anybody. And I'll tell you what, it ought to be inside of every one of us. What is that? It's that you are convinced you believe that. And as you go and you walk in that identity, you'll begin to live out your inheritance in Christ. Come on. Amen. Amen. So Father, tonight I thank you for these people that are here. Lord, people that are here to be healed tonight. Forgive me for going so long tonight, but Lord, I pray tonight that the word goes deep into people's hearts. It transforms lives. Lord, that you mature us into who we're supposed to be in Christ. Lord, grow us up. Grow us up in Christ. Lord, we don't want to be babies forever. Lord, we want to grow up as into the full perfection that Jesus paid for. Jesus, you told us in Matthew 5, be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Be mature. Be mature. And so, Lord, tonight, that's our heart's desire in the name of Jesus. We ask for that tonight. If you're here tonight, maybe you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe you once knew him, but you backslid. And tonight, God's speaking to you to come back to Christ. If that's you, quickly raise your hand. I won't embarrass you, but if that's you, quickly raise your hand. I want to pray for you tonight. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? Quickly, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? God's tugging your heart. This is your opportunity. Maybe you've been away from Christ for a while and you say, Tom, I feel God tugging me tonight. If that's you tonight, I promise you, we want to just pray for you. Those of you who raise your hand, just stand up right where you are. Just quickly. Just stand up. All right. Just stand up. Come on. Give them a big hand as they stand up. All right. Come on. Come on down here, ladies. I want to pray with you. Come on up. Come on up. I'll pray. Yeah. So just stretch your hands to him right now. Just pray this out loud. Mean it with all your heart. Pray this. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of the past. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. And give me a passion for the things of God and a holy boldness to preach the gospel. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Born again on my way to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Now, Normally, God will speak a word to me about some people to start with and pray for and stuff tonight. But tonight, I want to just kind of start off generally, and we're just going to go and we're going to lay hands on you. Don't wait until the very, very end, but get prayer. I mean, no, I don't care how serious it is, but we want to pray for you. We don't want to pray for your cousin who's not here, or your lost loved one who lives in Las Vegas. We're praying for you tonight, all right? So this is for you. You are here, and so if you need healing tonight, we're going to pray for you tonight. But brother, I want to pray for you first. Come on up here right now. God's touching you. Come on up here, brother. If you need healing in your body, I don't care how serious it is. I don't care if it's a tumor. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's HIV. I want you to come right now, all right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Will you put that CD on called Holy Ghost? Just called Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for it. Thanks, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. And all I ask you to do one thing tonight is just believe. Just believe the second we touch you, you'll be healed. Just take about 5 steps forward. Come right up to the blue line, will you? It's like a hockey game. Come up to the blue line.
What's wrong, brother? What's wrong? What's wrong? You have a lot of pain.
Yeah. So tonight, God's already touching you. So I speak healing to that in the name of Jesus. I command all the pain go from you. I command to create a miracle right through your whole body. All pain will go from you tonight. All weakness will go. I set you free by God's grace in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for it right now. All pain go. God, I thank you for healing his feet as well right now in Jesus' name. Even as he walks, let every fiber completely be restored. Come on, let's just walk. Let's just walk. Come on. Come on, someone help him tonight. Come on.
That a boy? That a boy? Strength. Going, man, just keep going.
Come on, somebody. Hey, look at him go. Look at him go. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Look at that, huh? Now run a little bit, just walk, run, jog a little bit faster. Come on, keep coming. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Lord, I speak healing to every person that's here tonight, right now. I command your knees to be healed right now. I command every backbone to go back into place, every organ, whatever it might be, in the name of Jesus. We command to create a miracle right now. God, we believe the second that hands are laid on us tonight, that all the pain will go out of our bodies. All the sickness will depart from us. All the disease will depart from us. All the depression, the braces. Lord, let it all dissolve tonight out of our bodies. If we've got pins and rods and things in our body, Lord, let them melt out. Lord, if things are taken out of us that need to be put back in, God, I pray tonight for creative miracles right now all over the house. Right now, Lord, I pray for organs to be restored that have been taken out, pieces of things of your body that have been taken out, whether through accident or just maybe you were never born with it or whatever. I command you to be healed. Barren women, I command you to be healed of that right now. Couples that want to have children, that the doctors say it's impossible, I command to create a miracle right now in your bodies in the name of Jesus. Come on, just stretch your hands toward heaven. Just like you believe that God's touching you already. Come on, somebody, all right? Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Come on. Yeah, in Jesus' name.